What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about the golden rule of behavior on the internet. This is something I talk about quite a bit. If you've read the show notes, you know that if you've listened to me before, there's a good chance you've heard this content. It is something that is so very important. We need this so badly. And I haven't always done this very well. Even as cognizant of this as I am, I still don't do it perfectly. I still get sucked in from time to time, as it were. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to have the same failures that I have. If we all try to work for towards perfection, then we will be much better off than if we were not working at all. Good to see you, Debbie Mangus. And good to see everybody that's coming in. Thank you so much for tuning in. I would love for everybody to watch what we're doing and consume the content on Christianity Now Streams. That's our YouTube channel. I would love to have several hundred subscribers that we could monetize the YouTube channel that way, which would actually pay us for views. Wouldn't cost y'all anything, but it would pay us for views. Stuff like that. John Exum, what's going on? All right. We have an ad read. LaBeth Brewer at The Mindful Soul, beamindfulsoul.com. You know, often people need a listening ear as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes these situations are so complex and overwhelming that you need some support. This is why LaBeth started the Be a Mindful Soul. At Be a Mindful Soul, well, LaBeth's mission is to offer help from finding a professional in your area to simply the advice of an older sister. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all of the services that she has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy and mental health services or mental health treatment and other services that you might need. She also provides affordable assistance to support you with resolving parental relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps that you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. And this was absolutely just butchered. But go to beamindfulsoul.com and check out what LaBeth has to offer. If you have people in your congregations or wherever you are this morning, counseling and help, but they are worried that they're going to get one of these far left, crazy counselors and such, LaBeth can help you. All right. Hey, you stole my idea. I was going to discuss this Wednesday, but there was an article posted on our website denying the deity of the Holy Spirit and the deity of Christ. My goodness. So this is Facebook user. Evidently, this person is either watching on We Talk Truth or my personal profile. I have an idea of who this is, but I don't want to say. But that's wild. How do you? Okay, this is going to sound crazy. I can understand more denying the deity of Christ than I would denying the deity of the Holy Spirit. Now, both of them are wrong. Obviously, the Holy Spirit and Jesus are deity. And they are separate individuals. They're separate entities. But Acts chapter 5 is just, I mean, it's so cut and dry. And I think that Jesus being deity is cut and dry as well. But I can more so put myself in somebody else's shoes that believes that Jesus is not God himself, but the Son of God. And they can do some mental gymnastics. But to say the Holy Spirit isn't deity blows my mind. Anyway, sorry, didn't mean to derail you didn't derail, but that was me. I derailed. All right. So So yeah, let me go to Facebook and I'm going to read to you what I shared. I shared this some years ago and it keeps coming up in my feed, in my memories. I love Facebook memories. Well, sometimes I hate Facebook memories because it shows you like there are positions that I've held in the past that I no longer hold. There are convictions that I've held in the past that I no longer hold. Facebook memories reminds me of them. But for the most part, I'm pretty true to self. Anyway, here is a meme. I don't know who this is. KB. Evidently, they're on Twitter. If the only time you feel inspired to engage your brother in Christ publicly is to critique them, ... you, my friend, are trolling. Folk can be out here changing the world and you scroll past all of their work completely unmoved until you disagree. Then you come alive. # troll. And I shared this for the first time or maybe the second time back in 2020. My caption for this is 100% truth. There have been folk who have never talked to me at all, nor interacted with my work online, who only come out of the woodwork to argue and critique. My rule for these is to delete and ban. It would be funny if it were not so sad. I defend my position with which they disagree, then I am combative and argumentative. But if I delete their dissenting comment and ban them from interacting with me or seeing my content, then I am a coward who posts things without the intelligence or backbone to defend them. Sadly, it is not just me. I see this behavior from many who claim Christendom and more so from folk who say they are gospel preachers. The preachers are the worst by far. And when I say it's not just me that falls victim to this. I see other people who post on social media fall victim to this. Now, let me lay the groundwork here. Social media is a net negative on society and most especially on the church. If I were in charge of the universe, there would be no Christian ever at all have a profile on social media. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Tony, I don't get you. You're on social media right now. Yes, I am. I understand there is a tinge of irony with what I say. That it's a little bit ironic that I'm so against social media. In the early days, I held the conviction that to be on social media at all was actually a sin. It was in violation of the law of God. And I can show you some scriptures that caused me to go down that path. And then I was brought face to face with the horns of a dilemma. And I'm like, well, I've either got to publicly mark and withdraw fellowship from everybody that's on social media, or I've got to come to terms with the fact that this would be an issue of judgment. And although it's a net negative and not good, or when I say not good, that it's at least a moral, it's amoral. It's not immoral or it's not moral. It's amoral to have a presence on social media. I've got to change my thinking. So in 2015, I created my first social media account. I say that's a lie. I created a social media account way back in the early 2000s, but I quickly shut it down for a few reasons. But anyway, yeah, I try to use it for the glory of God. It's hard sometimes when you have to deal with the brotherhood police. Ain't that the truth, Jonathan? All right. Let me get to some scriptures and talk about this. First off, let's talk about how we deal with one another online. Let me just lay forth a principle here that's not from scripture. We need to treat social media like we would treat one-on-one personal interaction to an extent. What I mean by that is, for instance, I the last time we talked about this, I used Aaron Dotson and the Washington Avenue Church of Christ. Now, let's say that Aaron Dotson had some belief with which I disagreed. If every time Aaron Dotson taught about that particular subject, and I went to the Washington Avenue Church of Christ, and I withstood him publicly and caused dissension in the class by undermining his authority as a teacher in his class in the church building at Washington Avenue Church of Christ, I would probably only get to do that twice. I would do it once, and everybody would kind of be like, okay, we're just gonna observe the Passover. And the second time I did it, I would probably have the eldership of the Washington Avenue Church of Christ come to me and say, look, either don't come back or sit in silence, but you cannot disrupt what we've got going on. Aaron Dotson preaches and teaches at our good pleasure. You do not. We are in charge of feeding this flock, and we want Aaron to do it, and we want Aaron to teach this. Now, let's take that from the congregational level, the local level, to social media. If I went to the Washington Avenue Church of Christ Facebook page or Facebook group where Aaron Dotson and the eldership and other authorized people were sharing things on that particular platform, and I was constantly just challenging him and saying, no, you're wrong about X, Y, and Z, it should elicit the same response, folks. The people in charge of that platform, which would be ultimately, even if the elders aren't admin, even if Aaron Dotson and his friends are the only people, when I say his friends, that like he and I aren't friends, but I'm using myself as an antagonist here. So if Aaron Dotson and two or three other members were admin, the elders are ultimately in charge because it's a work of the Riverview Church of Christ. So I wouldn't be able to go there and offer my dissent in such a way that's going to undermine the authority of the admins of that particular area of social media, whether it's a Facebook page, whether it's a Facebook group. Aaron would have the power to delete my comments and block me if I wouldn't keep my mouth shut. And I would tell this to people whenever the We Talk Truth group was in full force. We had 2,000 members, and we were getting like 6,000 and 8,000 impressions per day. Like, they were a lot of interaction. I had to deal with people constantly that would try to take over, and they would speak as authorities, and they would not take any kind of guidance or correction. And if they did come in and try to take over and speak with authority and all this, that, and the other, if you tried to correct them, they would say, well, you're just closed-minded, you're antagonistic, you don't play well with others, is basically what they were saying. Let me explain something. This is the equivalent of walking up to somebody and hitting them in the nose and then jumping back and telling the crowd, look at how badly they hurt my hand. Nobody, and listen, I love every one of you for commenting, for watching, and everything like that. But you are here because you chose to be here. Nobody's making you come. If you disagree with something I say, put it in the comments. We'll talk about it. And if you still disagree with it, you're just going to have to observe the Passover. You don't get to strip the platform from my dog. Maslow, are you alive? That Joker, I don't know if y'all could hear it or not. It sounded. Have y'all ever heard an English bulldog snore? Or like a boxer or a Molosser snore? That's he was breathing like that. It's crazy. Anyway. You don't get to come in and take over a platform. You can disagree. I love for people to voice disagreements. In fact, for the last two live streams, we've had a man come in named Xavier. He don't agree with anything. But notice how he voiced his disagreement and he just listened. And he didn't keep going back and forth. That's how you do it. So it's not that you can't disagree. It's not that you can't offer a dissent. But you just have to understand that if it's not your platform, you don't get to take over. Just like at a local congregation, a local level, like for instance, if John Exum, if I'm at Hannibal, is it Hannibal? Are you at Hannibal, John? Anyway, if I'm at the congregation where he preaches, and I'm sitting in a Bible class of his, and he has a difference of conviction on, say, the gift of the Holy Spirit, I don't get to take over his class when he doesn't hold the same viewpoint as me. Awesome. Yeah, so if I'm at Hannibal, I don't get to take over his class. Now, what I do get to do, if Jonathan and I are friends, and I think we are, and I'm respectful to him, and he teaches that the gift of the, I don't know, Jonathan, I have no idea what your view is on the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm just using that as an example. So let's say Jonathan has the view that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. It's the non-miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All right. I raise my hand. Hey, Jonathan, man, I really appreciate you. I appreciate your teaching. If you don't mind, I would like to offer a dissent. And I believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit probably more so would be better understood in the context of Acts chapter 2 as the miraculous outpouring of power by God from the Holy Spirit. And it applied to the people in the first century and the first century only. And we could even have a conversation about that. But the minute that I try to take over and teach my position with authority, which he's allowed to do, by the way, because he's in charge, he can teach his position with authority. I'm not allowed to teach my position with authority. Because the minute I start teaching my position with authority, that's when technically I need to be silenced. My mouth needs to be stopped, even if it's where they need to get me out of the building. Greg James says, with any disagreement, be respectful. What is the commandment on loving your neighbor? Be Christ-like. And Greg is asking, what is the command on love your neighbor? He knows. It's rhetorical. And I'm not going to insult anybody's intelligence by articulating that commandment. But I will say this, I'll go a step further. What's a command about loving your enemies? And I don't consider anybody that disagrees with me my enemy. But I'm at least going to treat my enemy lovingly. Why wouldn't I treat someone with whom I disagree, who absolutely is not my enemy? Why would I treat them so hatefully? Boy, that's a good question. John Exum says, ironically, I hold the Holy Spirit non-miraculous view, but I don't bind it. There you go. That's the thing. Now, the cool thing is, if I were sitting in a Bible class when you taught that in Hannibal, we could have some discourse, me from my seat, you from the pulpit, and we could talk about the other two views. And I think the congregation would be enlightened. And we would all be better off. Dissent is good. Dissent is a good thing. Iron sharpens iron. Well, do you understand whenever you take a knife and sharp, you know, you can take a knife if you don't have a steel rod to kind of You're not sharpening a knife whenever you knock it against a steel rod. You're actually realigning the edge. So, but it gives it, it feels sharper. So I'm going to use the word sharpen. When you can sharpen a knife on the spine of another knife, did you know that? The only way you can do that is if there's opposition. So the proverb there, iron sharpens iron, implies opposition from a friend. There's nothing wrong with opposition. It's whenever it goes too far, and as Greg James pointed out, it's not respectful. And what I point out, when I'm trying to take over the class and I'm not, and I want to be able to teach with authority. Now, if John Exum came up here to Riverview, which he's invited to do anytime he wants to do, I'd love to have him and his sweet wife up here to preach for us and stuff. Even though he's wrong about his view of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can still be brothers and I can still have him up here to preach. I'm sorry. I shouldn't play like that, Jonathan. But I am serious. You can come up here anytime you want to. I shouldn't have tried to joke because I've lost my train of thought. I'm a big dummy. Oh, yeah. If Jonathan was up here in Riverview and he was sitting in a Bible class that I was teaching, I would be able to teach my position with authority and he could offer some dissent following the same rules and everybody would be better off. Okay? Now, let's take that to social media. We need to follow these same rules. As Greg just put, be respectful and loving to gain a soul for Christ when dealing with enemies and those that disagree. We got 22 minutes and I haven't even mentioned a Bible verse. All of this is just stuff that we should intuit. And I've said it millions of times. That's hyperbole. I've said it many, many times. We don't deal with should and should nots here. We deal with is and is not. So it should be the case. All of this goes without saying, and we intuit it. However, it is not the case. So since it is not the case, can we go anywhere that the Bible gives us direction? Well, obviously, Greg has mentioned the love your neighbor as yourself. And I have mentioned love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. One's from the gospel, one's from the book of Romans. Let's go. Well, first off, I guess we should do, let's just read the golden rule first. And let's start at the golden rule since I said this is the golden rule for the internet. Let's go to Matthew, the golden rules of Matthew 7. And I can't ever remember. Oh, I thought it was 7-Eleven. It's not. Y'all, where's the golden rule? Hold on. Oh, what in the world? I know it's in Matthew 7. Come on, Tony. I'm going to have to Google this. 7:12, dude. I read 7:11 and then I skipped to Matthew 7:13. Jameson, thank you. Boy, that's what's trying to do something on the fly in a live stream will get you. I never said anybody ought to be like me. Don't be like me, be prepared. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now think about the profundity and importance of what Jesus said there. Here's the culmination. Here's the goal of the law and the prophets. David, I'm going to say something. It's going to be hard for you to hear. You have a problem with how you come off. Tony, do you remember a couple of months ago I disagreed with you on the subject of Christian and psychology? You and Aaron were ready to block me for stating my opinion. You did not just state your opinion. So I'm not sure that you're my brother in Christ, to be honest, because of some positions that you hold, because you have had issue with a lot of people where you have also lied about me, and you've talked to me in private message to Aaron Dotson, where you have misrepresented and lied about me. So yeah, I do not want to hear that. Okay. Yeah, and the Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome. It's 2 Timothy 2:24-26. But be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those. Oops. With gentleness correcting those. What? It jumped, Jonathan. Hold on. In gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may give them repentance, leading to a full knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Scott Beck, in your experience, Tony, is it better to take disagreements offline, or is there value for brethren to see if or how the disagreement is resolved? Scott, I think it's a case-by-case basis. So if two brethren, okay, so for instance, I'm going to use Jonathan Exum. Jonathan Exum and I, let's say we have a disagreement about a particular issue of theology, and we're kicking it back and forth in the comment section, and we're both being respectful. Yeah, that needs to stay up, because that's modeled behavior, all right? And people need to see how that plays out. They need to see how we can disagree, and we can remain in disagreement, and we can be respectful to one another and be brethren and be friends. But if it's something to where the anger is risen, where it goes personal, yeah, that needs to be cut off. Now, your question actually gets into the next segment of the podcast, which is the crux of the matter. So the golden rule, we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. That is the goal of the law and the prophets. That's the goal of the law of Christ. If everybody would just treat others the way they themselves would want to be treated, which implies I have to put myself in your shoes just a little bit. That's called empathy. And I've been accused of being very unempathetic. I am very, very empathetic. I am, however, low on compassion. In other words, your feelings rank very, very low in the hierarchy on my decision-making tree about how I decide to act. So some people are very, very high in trait compassion, and you've got to be, and they have to be careful, because they are so compassionate that they may wind up compromising a core tenet of their beliefs or even the truth in order to spare somebody's feelings. So I'm very high, actually, in empathy, but I'm very low in compassion. All right. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm low in compassion, as in if I see somebody struggling on the side of the road, I'll just turn up my nose and go. So you've got to understand, I'm using these terms very specifically. And if you want to know more about how I use those terms, go to Jordan Peterson's website. I think it's called Know Yourself or something like that. And he has a personality profile test of the big five personality traits. All right. So So in your experience, is it better to take these disagreements offline? If it's a disagreement that's heated or something like that, where the things are personal, yes, they need to be taken offline. And I think they need to be done face to face, which gets me into my golden rule. I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated. Let me tell you, and this is going to sound weird, I want to be left alone. Now, I understand that I have a relationship with people online. I understand that me having a social media presence depends on having a relationship with people online. But there has to be a healthy boundary. And while I love every one of you, if you and I have never sat at the dinner table and eaten together, you only exist online for me, and I only exist online for you. You literally, with the press of a button, can erase me from your reality, and vice versa. I do not think that we were ever designed for that type of interaction and that level of interaction with multiple people. Okay? Here's my golden rule. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read these verses. If I have never sat down to eat with you, I am not going to go on your platform and argue with you, even if you are doing something that is absolutely wrong. Like, for instance, if John Exum started on his platform, and I've used John Exum before, because I've covered this quite a bit. If John Exum on his platform is teaching all of a sudden that, hey, mechanical instruments of music are fine and God loves them with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I would offer a general dissent on his timeline, and then I would take it private. Because that's something that I'm convicted is an issue of fellowship, and we need to get that corrected. And I have built enough, I have spent time enough and built enough of a relationship with John Exum that he would actually hear a dissent coming from me. But let's say that somebody I didn't know at all got out and started preaching full-blown false doctrine on the internet, what can I do? They're not going to hear me because I haven't spent any time with them. I haven't developed a relationship with them. I haven't sat down and eaten with them. I haven't laughed with them. I haven't wept with them. So what do I do? If I went to that person that I don't know, and I offered a dissent, and I tried to correct them, it's possible that I'm cementing them in their false doctrine. So I'm doing more harm than good because I'm so stinking narcissistic that I think that I need to come in and save the stinking day. If I didn't know Jonathan Exum at all, and he was teaching full-blown false doctrine, probably what I would do is I would go to the people, and this is going to sound a whole lot like cancel culture. It is not. I would go to the people that he knows that he is under their authority. And I would be like, look, I do not know Jonathan Exum, but I do know that he worships with the Hannibal Church of Christ, and my duty as a Christian is to publicly mark people who teach false things and cause dissent. And I am noting Jonathan as this is his teaching, and I'm just letting you know. And that's how I would handle that. Now that I've said that out loud, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I'd do that now that I've just said it out loud. Because I'm like, what good would it do? And it could potentially do all kinds of harm, you know? So I don't know. Probably what I would do is if somebody that I don't know, that I've never met in real life or never sit down and eat with in real life, if they're in my sphere of influence online, and I see them teach full-blown false doctrine, Well, if they're in my sphere of, or if I'm in their sphere of influence where I see what they do, then that means they see what I do. I'm just going to start putting out content that teaches the truth. And I'm going to model that behavior of Jesus. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Sounds like I better get up to the Homestead restaurant and buy Tony lunch. Man, Scott, you need to come up to the Homestead restaurant and buy me. Well, you don't have to buy me lunch, but you can come up to the Homestead restaurant. We'd love to have you. Todd Clippard's, incidentally, I hope I'm not saying anything I ain't supposed to, but in 2024, Todd Clippard is coming. I think he's either coming in June or September. I think he's trying to figure out. I think he's waiting on us to tell him which is better. But anyway, but that's the idea. I wouldn't. You have to have a level of relationship with somebody. And I suppose to Scott's comment there, I better get up there to Homestead and buy Tony lunch. It may be that we have a close enough relationship. In other words, this is all new. We haven't been doing this long enough to know what it is. So can you build a relationship solely through social media to the point where you can, in mutual respect, come to your brother in a private message and correct him and it actually accomplish what you want it to accomplish? I don't know. I'm just telling you what my rule is. And if I've never sat down to eat with you, I observe the Passover. All right. I thought there was a message from Jameson Murdoch I wanted to read. Jameson Murdoch. I hadn't thought about that name in 30 years. Jameson Murdoch. If anybody knows Jameson Murdoch, I would love to talk to him. I ain't seen him in 25 years. It takes a much greater effort on social media to make someone human in our minds so that we will treat others as we should. Yes, absolutely. And then there was another comment about keyboard warriors, and I can't find it. Not right there. Some are keyboard warriors who type things they would not dare say in person. It is sad when that happens. Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me get this comment from Jonathan. Some people like to just argue. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited, understanding nothing but having a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words out of which arise envy, strife, slander, evil suspicions, constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, but godliness is actually a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Yeah, 1 Timothy 6:3-6. Yeah, so that's the thing, and so the golden rule. Hold on. There we go. Now, let me read this from 1 Thessalonians. And like I said, for those of you that have listened to me any at all, this is old hat. You know where I'm going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And now here's the kicker. This is verse 11. Study, give diligence to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. For what purpose? That you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may lack, and that you may have lack of nothing. So, study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to do your own work. And I think a lot of times in the past, whenever people have taken issue with some of the things that I've put on social media, it's like if you would do, If you would dedicate yourself fully to the work where you are, you wouldn't have time to worry about me. We're all the way up here in New Brunswick. You know what? I don't have time to worry about what's going on in Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, Maine. You know, I just don't have time. I had a fellow when I was at the Bay Church of Christ. He called me from California and asked me about my position on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I said, "Brother, why are you calling me?" He said, "I'm trying the spirits to see whether or not they be of God." So I said, "Well, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and he's the Son of God?" And this dude got mad. And I said, "Well, go read 1 John chapter 4. If you want to try the spirit," like that's the actual question that was given. "If you want to try the spirits to see whether or not they're of God, ask them that question. You're asking me about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Man, I don't know you. I don't know if you're a Christian. You could be from the Baptist church before all I know." He got so angry. And I'm just like, "Look, I mean, it's just get used to disappointment. That's all I can tell you." I had one person demand me to tell him he was going to hell because I would not agree with his renovated earth idea. Yeah, like, I don't have to tell you that. I just disagree with your renovated earth idea. I mean, is that false doctrine enough to send you to hell? I don't know. I tend to believe it's not. Well, depending on, so there's a lot of different tenets of the renewed heaven, renewed earth. There's a lot of different versions. I will confidently say that there are versions of it that you can believe and it will not keep you out of heaven. I am also confident to say that there are versions of it that you can believe and teach that will keep you out of heaven. And we can have a podcast about that another day. But that's my golden rule. My golden rule is I do not offer a dissent on somebody else's page, on somebody else's account. I do not do things publicly. Now, does that mean that I don't argue? Does that mean that I don't get pretty sharp-tongued from time to time? God forbid. But I only do it with people to come into my house. If you come into my house and you come into my house arguing and you come into my house being disrespectful, I ascertain in the moment whether or not I need to outright block you and be done with you, or if I can talk to you for a moment and try to change your ways. Or sometimes, as Scott Beck pointed out, it may be that if you come in and you say this false, you disagree with me rather, then I'm going to argue with you because I want people in the comment section to see how that plays out. This, in fact, I've got this going on the Christianity Now Facebook page with two separate videos. One video is about what's called graded absolutism when it comes to moral absolutism with hiding Jews in the attic, and a video from a scene from a movie, from a television show called Vikings, where this Viking wanted to be baptized so he could see his friend who had died, who just so happens to be in your Christian heaven, as Ragnar put it. And I don't just outright block everybody that comments a dissent. I'll talk with them and I'll argue with them. There is a new false doctrine within the Brotherhood about the new earth and the new heaven. I'm not sure exactly what it's all about. Have you heard or dealt with it? Maybe. I don't know what the new part of that would be. I may do a podcast here soon, one of these days, about the renewed heaven and renewed earth, and try to steel man that position, and I'll steel man it with the idea that we're going to live on a renovated earth, but present it in such a way that it doesn't harm the text to the point that makes it damnable heresy. Now, there are some versions of it that's damnable heresy, absolutely. But, Greg, I wouldn't know. I just don't keep up with it enough to know what's new and what's not. Sadly, I think some of my brethren study way too much at the trough of the denominations. Charles Spurgeon and N.T. Wright and R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur and all them. Why would you study those people? Just, they're not qualified to teach you anything. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. If I missed Ned in the first reader, how do you think that I could teach you Shakespeare? That's all good, Jonathan. Don't be sorry you brought it up. We've used it for illustration on our golden rule for the internet, and it makes for good discussion. That's what these live streams are all about. If I wanted to make a video that was succinct where we didn't go off on any tangents or anything like that, I'd pre-record one and I'd edit it, and we would have a 6-minute video instead of a 45-minute live stream. I thought about that the last couple of days. I'm like, good grief. These live streams, the more people we get in and the more people we have commenting, the more popular they get, the longer they get. So the more of a crowd that we gather and the more people ask questions, the more I'm going to have to be disciplined in staying on task. Anyway, do y'all think I've covered this enough? I think I have. I'm going to read the verses again. Study to be quiet, work with your own, do your own business, and work with your own hands, that you may walk honestly towards those that are without. That's Titus, or 1 Thessalonians, chapter 11. Folks, just be cognizant of how we present ourselves on social media. Make sure you're not being a busybody in other men's matters. Make sure the only reason you don't show up in somebody's feed is to just disagree. Make sure that if you do disagree with somebody, that you're doing it in a way that's respectful, and you offer your dissent and then leave it alone. Practice that behavior that Jesus taught us. Give the information that you feel is true on their timeline or on their piece of content, and then take the attitude, he that hath a set of ears to hear, let him hear. And do like Jesus did. Let the truth of your statements do their work. But don't try to force anybody to adopt your position through arguments. Just say, hey, this is it. Now, if somebody comes into your house and starts arguing, You can offer rebuttals until you feel like it's gone on long enough. Or you can just flat out delete their comments. And if it's too bad, you can block them. Remember, I'll go back to the commentary that I put on the meme that I shared. If I defend my position with which they disagree, then I am combative and argumentative. But if I delete their dissenting comment and ban them from interacting with me or seeing my content, then I am a coward who puts things on the internet without the intelligence nor backbone to defend them. So you're not going to please anybody, really. Anybody that comes that don't know you, that comes to argue, you're not going to please them. Read Proverbs 27, 1 through 7 or 8. You're not going to please them. So don't even try. That's the thing. Build relationships with people and tend and cultivate those relationships. And I'm the world's worst. Like, I'm the world's worst at building and cultivating relationships. I do a bad job of it. I try to get a little better every day. But anyway, that's all I've got. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for all the comments. Thank you for the folks that are watching on Christianity Now streams. Be sure to, if you know anybody that has any need for mental health services from a professional therapist, a licensed, credentialed professional therapist, have them contact LaBeth Brewer, www.beamindfulsoul. And you can support us. If you find that this content adds value to your daily walk, then consider supporting it monetarily. Incidentally, I do have some news. We found out yesterday that the province of New Brunswick is sponsoring us for permanent residence. What that means is on our Canadian entry permanent residence application portal, where we had like 300 points and we needed 600 points, with their sponsorship, we went from 300 to 800. Actually, above 800. Like, we are guaranteed it will be as little as 3 months and as many as 9 months, and we will be permanent residents of Canada. I will have an open, well, it won't be a work permit. I'll just be a permanent resident. So I'll be able to go, I will actually be able to be a bivocational preacher. So I'm going to say this. If you know anybody that we can reach out to raise some support for the interim time, please contact me so I can reach out to them, because we have been living on nothing. Our budget's $4,500 a month. We've had for the last 2 years about $1,200 a month raised. We have been up here sacrificially. We've been living off of savings. We've been living off of one-time donations from brethren. But on average, we've averaged about $1,800. If you take all the one-off donations and everything, just add everything we've had, we've averaged $1,800 a month support against a $4,500 a month support budget, rather. So please, it would really help us if we could find some support for a short term that would help see us until I can go out and get a job. I want to be a vocational preacher. I do not want to create a Christian welfare system where an unbiblical cord is coming from the United States to a church in Canada. If I'm here and I'm able to work, I want to work, and I don't want to create a Christian welfare system. Supporting our Christianity Now podcast is not supporting the church. That's a separate thing. I just want to be sure that we have that understood. The Christianity Now and Cogitations is not a work of the Riverview Church of Christ. That's a work of Tony Brewer and Aaron Dodson. So if you know of anybody that we could reach out to that could give us some one-off support or would be able to help us monthly, maybe, you know, pledge a certain amount of support for a 12-month period or whatnot, please put me in contact with them. All right. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Scott Beck. I really appreciate you. And Scott Beck, I appreciate you. And there are some others that have sent some one-off supports to the church, and it's really helped. Anyway, that's all I've got. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. God bless you. And remember, follow that golden rule on the internet. We'll catch you on the flip side.